Welcome back to Nachiyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 20th perek, the 20th chapter of Sefer Shoftim. We've been left at the end of a very terrible story about the rape and murder of this Pilegesh as she went through the city of Giva with her husband, who threw her out to the people of Binyamin in Giva. We're now moving into the national crisis as this expands. What ends up happening now is that, as we saw, the husband has sliced up the corpse of his wife and sent the pieces to all the 12 tribes. And the response to that is a national gathering. 400,000 soldiers of all of Israel gathered together in a place called Mitzpah. And they say, what's going on here? They don't even really know what's really happening. They know something terrible has happened, but they don't know why. They gathered together in Mitzpah, and this man, this Ish Levi, this unknown man, gets up there and explains that he was walking through the town, Giva here, and his Pilegesh, and they threatened to murder him, and they raped his wife to death. And everybody responds in one voice, in unison, and they said, well, nobody's going to go home until we sort this out. And they demand that each tribe sends in a requisite amount for per tribe to make up the war effort, and they're going to admonish, they're going to teach Binyamin a lesson. And it sounds very positive in a certain sense. Ve'yasef kol ish Yisrael el ha'ir ki'ir echad chaverim, all of Israel together as friends, of course, with the exception of Binyamin. And then they send out messengers to Binyamin. They say, you know, hand over the perpetrators. Right now, you know, send them out in, tied up, and we're going to kill them to destroy the evil that was perpetrated in Israel. Binyamin refuses. Binyamin digs in on their side and gathers together an army of 26,000 of their own, and besides for 700 men from the Giver itself, who have a special abilities that they're Iter Yadimino, which means to say that there are different ways of explaining that, but one of the explanations is that they're either left-hand swordsmen or they're slingers. And it's interesting that Binyamin is the tribe called Ish Yemini. Binyamites are the right-handed people, but they often have, like Ehud Ben-Gera early on in Shoftim, are the people who are the left-handed. Anyways, they're set into battle. The first day, Israel has a war effort of 400,000 soldiers. Just to put this into proportion, you know, for people, like thinking back for a reference point for myself, you know, having been to the Siyum HaShas, MetLife Stadium, with 92,000 people, and you know, just feeling the huge crowd. We have to think about this. This is four times that amount of people in this army who are waging war with Binyamin. We're talking about a mega army. And they what happens is they ask Hashem. They said, who should go out first in this war? And Hashem says, Yehuda should go off to war. They enter the war, they engage with Binyamin, and they are decimated. They lose a total of 22,000 people with no casualties on the Binyamin side, are killed among Israel. People, the Israel retreats in and are in terrible disarray. They ask Hashem, should we attack again in Binyamin? And Hashem says, Alu Eilov, go and attack them. They go out into battle again the second day, and 18,000 people are killed from the Israel side, none on the Binyamin side. Clearly, they're losing this battle. And finally, they come up and they start fasting. They start doing tshuva. And we're told that Pinchas is now around, and they consult the Aaron and Pinchas, what should we do? Should I continue? Should we not? And Hashem responds, tomorrow you're going to conquer them. So the next day they set up these ambushes all around, and they bring out Binyamin and fall into retreat. Binyamin leaves their cities in pursuit of Israel, thinking they're going to win the battle again. And in the meantime, what happens is that the ambushes start capturing the cities of Binyamin and light them in flames. And in the midst of the battle, while Binyamin is now trying to fight, they turn around, see that their cities are burning. Israel captures them, circles them on all sides, and destroys them. And the destruction is given in pretty clear detail in this parak. You know, it describes that over 25,000 of the soldiers of Binyamin are killed. The rest of them run to refuge in the mountains. Only 600 soldiers really remain, who are in the Sela Rimon, which is this area by the rocks. And then Israel proceeds to go around and literally one by one burns down every single city, men, women, and children left in Binyamin. Which means to say, as we're going to see in the next parak, that remaining of Binyamin are going to only be these 600 men. There is no one else left of Shevet Binyamin after this battle. This is the end of this battle. I mean, really, really shocking time to be living in. So let's just think about a few things quickly, a few points to ponder. And that is that if we were to do a quick count, what is the biggest gathering of soldiers in all of Sefer Shoftim. It is interesting that aside for Pelegesh Begiva, the greatest unity of all Jewish or all Israelite soldiers was the times of Devorah and Barak, and that was a gathering of 40,000. That was the greatest amount that she was able to muster when fighting against Sisera and Yavin. It's interesting that this gathering is 10 times that amount. And we get to think to ourselves, why is it that in Sefer Shoftim, against external enemies, there never was such a magnitude of a gathering? Is that an indictment on them in general, the fact that they're only able to muster up in this particular case? Why is it, another point to ponder, why is it that Binyamin digs in? Why can't Binyamin just hand over their people in handcuffs, and that's it? End the story. No fighting, no digging in. So Barbanel suggests that the reason it is very simple, is because the justice is going above their heads. Here, there's been a whole council of all of Israel who makes a decision on a federal level, essentially, about about people in their state. And they say, wait a second, why weren't we invited to the court case? Why didn't we have a say in this whole matter? Why didn't you consult us rather than sending us the demands of who to send out? And this really hits upon one of the real hairline fractures in Sefer Shoftim, is up till now everything's been going on a state level. Every Isha Yashar Bein Av Yaseh means to say individuals, but also on a state level, on a tribal level, every tribe's done what they wanted. So who are you now to stretch over us as Binyamin and decide what justice should be meted out? And we have to think to ourselves, how rightful is this claim? This is going to be obviously our transition point into Sefer Shmuel, where we meet the notion of Melachim as opposed to Shoftim, which are tribal. And one of the big theological questions that appears in this parak is that Hashem tells Bnei Yisrael to go up into battle in the first two times. And he almost misleads them into their deaths, where 40,000 soldiers are killed, which is shocking. The Mefarshim really struggle with this. Many of the Mefarshim point out that they were asking the wrong question. In the first two cases, they didn't say, should we go up? They said, we're going up, who should go first? And when they ask in such a way, Hashem says, okay, well, you've chosen to go up, so I'll just tell you within your decision what you want to do. Meaning to say that they already made that decision before they even asked it. The Malbim points out that when it comes to the third time they do tshuva first of all. They also ask whether they should or not in the third time. And they also ask Pinchas, who's supposed to be the leader at this point in time, and the Urim V'Tumim in front of the Aaron, which is the context was correct, as opposed to the first three times. This war obviously was, it sounds like, a necessary war, because there was a need to eradicate these evildoers. But unfortunately, when we look back at this, there's no good feeling we have at the end of this. This went too far. This battle obviously went way beyond what was expected, and the destruction is now going to be so complete, it's going to take a very long time to bring back Binyamin and all the innocent people who were killed in Binyamin as well. We end with a very bad taste in our mouths, and we're going to see the last chapter of Sefer Shoftim tomorrow as we continue. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.